You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
New Yorkers dine out a lot, and whether it's a fancy tasting menu or cheap takeout, there's no guarantee that all that food is good for you. In Clean Plates, Manhattan 2013, nutritional consultant Jared Koch offers a guide to healthy and sustainable restaurants in the Big Apple. And if you prefer to cook at home, there's also the Clean Plates Cookbook. It's published by Reading Press, and I'm very pleased that it brings Jared Koch to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
How do you define clean eating?
Sure. So, I mean, I look at it in a couple of different ways, but ultimately it really focuses on the quality of ingredients. So a lot of it has to do with the sourcing, organic ingredients, so less chemicals, locally grown ingredients, and then, you know, just more real food, more whole foods, less packaged foods.
But what kind of review process did restaurants have to go through to be included in your guidebook?
Sure. So we have a multi-step process. We start out by compiling a list of places that we think might be included. We do some anonymous phone calls. We do menu research, and then we also have anonymous visits to the places, and then we have a proprietary survey that we created that we have the restaurant owners and chefs fill out.
And you also bring along a food critic?
Yes. When we do the anonymous visits, we go with a food critic. So we're kind of reviewing for both kind of nutrition, sustainability, and sourcing, and then also, of course, taste and experience.
And they were open to you as to who their suppliers were?
Yeah, we get a lot of great information. And yeah, so everybody's very forthcoming.
Well, right now, pretty much every new restaurant claims to be locavore. Florence Fabricant told me that she gets a call or two every week from somebody who's about to open up a place, and they all talk as though they're the only one who's thought of being locally sourced.
Everyone's the pioneer. It's definitely a trend where, you know, most new restaurants are going in that direction, and that's due to the demand. You know, consumers are really looking for it. But some are doing it better than others, and that's what we really look for.
Did any cuisines stand out over others?
No, actually not. It's a nice variety, just, you know, from new American to just traditional American, Italian, some Asian. So there's all different types of places now, which is great. So there's a lot of variety.
Restaurants that filter their water receive points in your scoring system. Isn't New York City tap water considered pretty good? Why would it need to be filtered?
So, yeah, no, it's definitely relatively considered good. But a lot of people are concerned about just any kind of tap water and just want it to be as pure as possible. So we just, you know, kind of pay attention to that.
You also took points away from places which served too much seitan. Why? Isn't seitan considered a health food?
So what happens is with a lot of the vegetarian and vegan restaurants, they need to replace animal proteins. And they look for vegetarian sources of protein. And so seitan can be a good option, but it's just gluten. It's the gluten in wheat. And so a lot of people are either have sensitivities to that or want to avoid it. And so a lot of the vegetarian places, that's kind of their only option on the menu. And so we look for places that have a little more variety, a little more whole foods.
If I'm eating somewhere outside of New York, what kinds of questions should I ask to make sure that an item listed on the menu is sustainable or some of the other things, some of the other criteria that you apply here?
Sure. I mean, for me, the most important thing is when it comes to the animal foods, is just trying to find out if they're kind of raised without hormones and antibiotics, preferably if they're pasture-raised and grass-fed. And then, of course, with the produce also, if it's organically grown without chemicals or if it's locally grown. What you want to do is it's okay to ask the wait staff. Nowadays, a lot of them are expecting it and know. And you get a sense, like with anything, if they're knowledgeable and they have a good sense of it.
We recently did an event with some waiters who complained that people want to know just how humanely the chicken was raised before they'll eat it, kind of a Portlandia experience.
Yes, absolutely. Some people do take it a little too far.
Readers will probably not be surprised that you included Blue Hill and Gramercy Tavern in your list of restaurants, but you also have Chipotle and newer chains like Dig In. What do you like about those particular fast food restaurants?
Sure. I think, you know, across the whole value chain and price options, ideally you want there to be options. And so I think, you know, no place is ideal. That's just the bottom line. But, a place like Chipotle that's fast food and has multiple locations is doing a great job. All of their meats are hormone and antibiotic free. They're very transparent. If you go online, you could see what stuff is non-GMO.
They buy locally?
They do buy a certain percentage locally, and they're always looking to increase that. And so they're doing a nice job. And then Dig In, almost all of their stuff is from local area farms, and they just really good quality meats, good quality produce. You know, to me, Dig In is actually one of the best values in New York City.
Well, you have many options listed for the West Village, but only a few in Harlem and Columbia University area. When you were compiling the book, did you wonder why there weren't as many healthy options in northern Manhattan?
I think some of it's a supply-demand issue. And over time, when I started, this was a couple of years ago, and now looking back, there's definitely been some great progress in all the areas of the city. But definitely downtown and the Village is probably the most concentrated areas.
Do you believe the city is addressing the issue of food deserts adequately?
I think we have a long way to go. So I think there's definitely some attention being paid to it, and there's a lot of people that are actively looking for solutions, but we definitely have a lot of work to do.
Are we doing as well as a city like Los Angeles or San Francisco?
I think each city has their own issues, and it's a little different out on the West Coast because they have better climates, and so they're able to grow certain types of food all year round. So
everything is local there.
Everything, exactly.
The rest they ship here.
Exactly.
You're a proponent of biochemical individuality, a concept promoted by nutritionist Roger Williams in the 1950s. What does biochemical individuality mean?
Sure. And that's kind of the foundation of my philosophy on nutrition. And really what it simply means is that the foods that are right for my body are going to be different than the foods that are right for your body and all the bodies of the listeners out there. And it's really not the way we've been conditioned to think about nutrition, but it really is an accurate way to think about it.
Well, how do you determine that? How does it work in practice?
So there's no perfect way of determining it. So there are some tests that are out there. Some of them are expensive. None of the tests are perfect. There's more and more stuff coming to the market. And then ideally, a lot of it's experimentation and paying attention and just kind of learning what foods work for you over time. And it doesn't necessarily make it easy, but you can do it. And you can determine what foods are working for your body and then start to eliminate and add different foods that are serving you well.
But it's not based on craving. Otherwise, I'd have to eliminate butter.
I like butter myself. So, sometimes our cravings aren't always giving us the best information.
My guest is Jared Koch, who is here with two books, one that we have actually been offering as a premium called Clean Plates Manhattan, a guide to the healthiest, tastiest, and most sustainable restaurants. There's also the Clean Plates Cookbook, Sustainable, Delicious, and Healthier Eating for Everybody, written with Jill Silverman Ho. You also write that our food choices often come from another way, become another way of separating us. In what sense?
Well, I think what happens is a lot of people might find a way of eating that works for them, and then they become very dogmatic about that, whether it's being a vegan or following the paleo diet, and then they try to impose that philosophy on everybody else they meet, from their friends to their family. And I think that starts to, people get separated by that when there's too much dogma and too much ideology. And that's why I think going back to that concept of bioindividuality and understanding that what's right for you might be different than what's right for somebody else.
But do you go along with the idea that most Americans should cut down on their meat intake?
Yeah, I'm a big advocate of responsible meat eating, if you will. And that kind of goes back to the quality of sourcing, the quality of the meats that you're eating, ideally pasture-raised, hormone antibiotic free, and then definitely focusing on quantity, so portion control, so the amount of meats on a meal, and then the amount of times that you need to eat animal protein. Most people don't really need to eat it three meals a day, 7 days a week.
In fact, Mark Bittman has this vegetarian before 6 p.m. Yeah. rule. And your cookbook is largely vegetables. There are some meat dishes, but I would say the overwhelming majority is vegetable dishes.
Yeah, and I think it's the cookbook is a combination. There's a lot of plant-based recipes, and then there's a good amount of some animal protein recipes. And another core of my philosophy is that all of us could use to eat more and more vegetables, more and more plant-based foods. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we need to be vegetarians or vegans, but we need to be eating more and more vegetables.
When we're in a restaurant, is it a good idea to ask for things like the salad dressing on the side?
Yeah, I mean, I think that can be helpful at times. So there's always little tricks. But for me, I think the most important thing is if people are eating better quality foods, then kind of focusing on that stuff, on that type of stuff becomes less and less important.
You also suggest readers try to dine with people who give them indigestion? Why?
Well, you have to remind me of that one.
Oh, well. You say that eating under stress can be pretty bad for us.
Right. No, absolutely. And so yeah, and that goes with either just when you're eating by – if you're eating by yourself and you're under stress, or if you're eating – it was kind of meant to be humorous in the context of the book. But just, if you're eating with other people that are stressing you out, whenever the body is under stress, it's not really digesting foods and metabolizing foods properly.
What do you think about the city's attempt to – have us all eat more healthfully? In 2007, the New York City Board of Health banned trans fats from being used in New York City restaurants. A few years ago, the Bloomberg administration set voluntary sodium guidelines for restaurants through the city's national salt reduction initiative. And then more recently, of course, the mayor had efforts to limit the size of sugary drinks, which got him derided for trying to run a nanny city.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, I understand that, most people don't want the government to impose their choices on them. So I understand people's resistance to that. But, the reality is that we also do need to make progress and need to make change.
Many New York fast food or chain restaurants post their calorie counts, and I noticed that many customers seem to focus on that. Should we be so focused on caloric intake at our meals?
So, one of my favorite sayings is don't count your calories, make your calories count. And so it's not that calories don't matter at all, because they obviously do, but I think there's just such an overemphasis on calories and quantitative metrics, and we really need to shift more and more the focus on the quality of foods that we're eating.
A listener wants to know about how healthy food carts are. Has anybody checked them out?
I don't know if anybody's done any thorough investigation, but I think the way I look at it, similar to restaurants, there are a few good carts out there that are doing a nice job. I think even Rouge Tomat, which is a restaurant in our book, has some carts in Central Park. I think Gusto Organics might have some carts now. There's some good food trucks that are doing a nice job. So, like with anything, there's some really good ones, and then there's some not so good ones.
In both books, you use the terms real food and natural, but what do those terms actually mean? A natural, especially, has come under attack from nutritionists.
Absolutely, because it gets overused, and especially by the product companies, in terms of marketing. What it really means is kind of, it's food that's grown in nature, so in foods that the human body has been evolved to eat. So, very simply, it's plant-based food, vegetables, fruits, nuts and seeds, even good quality animal food. So just less and less packaged foods, more and more real food.
There's a regular debate over whether we should try to eat locally produced foods or whether we should focus on organic foods. What do you think?
What do I think? I get that question a lot. So, I mean, ideally, both. If you can get locally grown food that's also organically grown. If you can't get both, then I think it becomes a personal decision, what matters more to you. I personally lean a little more towards organic, just to avoid the chemicals as much as possible.
Even if it's imported from Chile or China or somewhere else, as opposed to something that comes from 30 miles up the Hudson Valley?
Yeah, I mean, some of it just depends on also what the actual food is. So if I think it's a type of food that's like heavily sprayed, even if it's local, but I know it's sprayed with a lot of chemicals, I'd probably stay away from it. Ideally, I try to consume as much local as possible.
How did you go about developing recipes for your cookbook? Was it a similar process of balancing nutrition and taste?
Absolutely. I mean, the idea was we wanted to make recipes that were simple, that were fun, and that had great taste and also used great quality ingredients. And so I worked with a chef in Napa Valley, which you mentioned, Jill Silverman Ho. So we kind of collaborated, and she's a chef. And then we also had a bunch of recipes contributed from some well-known chefs like Michael Anthony from Gramercy Tavern, Jamie Oliver, Bill Telepan, and a bunch of other restaurants in New York and L.A.
Now, this book that we've been talking about is Clean Palates Manhattan. Couple of things. First of all, a listener wants to know, are pricier restaurants more health conscious?
That's a great question. I think nowadays you could find it at all spectrums of the price range, but definitely there's probably more in the pricier range, and that's just because they you know, there's a demand at that end of the range, and they're able to, you know, pay a little extra for the sourcing.
Isn't there also a Brooklyn edition?
We have on our iPhone app and on our website, we have a database of all the Brooklyn restaurants.
Are the two boroughs very different, or they turn out to be pretty much the same thing either way?
I mean, similar. There's probably a little bit more in Manhattan, and Brooklyn's probably a little bit more, I would say, locavore focused. Manhattan's got a more diversity. There's a lot of vegetarian places. There's a lot of places that are focused on organic. There's a lot of farm to table places. So a little bit more variety.
Well, Brooklyn's also less expensive.
Yes.
On the whole.
On the whole, it's less expensive.
You have a recipe for raw pad thai and a few other raw dishes. Didn't I read recently that raw foods don't turn out to be more nutritional than cooked foods?
No, I don't. I mean, I think what I always advocate is a mixture. There are some benefits to raw foods. There's also benefits to cooked foods. So, you know, a lot of people over the last several years, it was a big trend to kind of eat a raw foods diet, and that should be 100% raw, and you should be 100% raw foods. I never really bought into that. There's definitely benefit to eating raw food, but you just want to have some of it in your diet.
The two books are Clean Plates Manhattan, A Guide to the Healthiest, Tastiest, and Most Sustainable Restaurants for Vegetarian and Carnivores. And then there's a cookbook, The Clean Plates Cookbook, Sustainable, Delicious, and Healthier Eating for Everybody. It is written with the help of Jill Silverman Ho and published by Running Press. And my great thanks to Jared Koch for being our guest today.
Thank you so much for having me.